All right. I'm thankful for our pastor and his desire to go and see how our missionaries are doing over there. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach the word. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we will get going. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its clarity, its richness, for its revelation of who you are. I pray that you would help the truths that will be talked about today to affect your people, that they would be strengthened with might by your spirit in the inner man, and that you would help me to preach as I ought, that Christ would be preaching by the spirit through me. And please work powerfully and bless your word, Lord, as here in your church, this is your institution, and this is your ordained method for building up your people. So I pray that you'd use it in a great way. And we pray this for Christ's sake. Amen. All right. The last few times that I've had the opportunity to preach, we were talking about what exactly God does in changing you in sanctification. It was the end of last year, and mentioned how in sanctification, some of the things that it's described as are quickening. So in sanctification, you are made more alive. That's one thing that's found. The psalmist prayed, "Quicken me, thou me, according to thy word." We saw that in progressive sanctification, in God making you more holy, it's described as growth. So growth, grow in grace. I think Camp Joy might have heard that verse before. In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, so we have that for growth. The growth in sanctification is described as building up. We have a building up or edifying metaphor for that. So you are being built up, you are being strengthened individually and corporately in the church. That's taking place. And then last time I had the opportunity to preach in March, we talked about how in sanctification there's a transformation that takes place, how their same word is used for Christ's transfiguration and for your being changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. One thing I didn't mention actually that time was that transformation that Christ has is an instantaneous verb sense. So Christ, when he's transfigured, boom, he was there, different. But we have continuing action tenses. So when we are transformed into the image of Christ, that is a progressive process. So those are some little background there here as we're looking at what God does in you in progressive sanctification. And tonight I want to look at what Scripture describes progressive sanctification as: strengthening. So we're going to be looking today, with Lord's blessing here, about the group of words where the Bible describes progressive sanctification as strengthening. Now, this use for progressive sanctification builds off uses in the physical world. If you take a look at Acts chapter 3 and verses 7 and 16, we see Scripture describing physical strengthening is found here in Acts 3. Now, Acts 3 and verse 7, we have this man that was lame, and Peter says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So they didn't have strength, and there was a miracle that God did, and now they had strength. And in verse 16 as well, it says that his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong. So here this man was made strong. So we can see physical strengthening. And when you can think about what happens when somebody who's weaker gets stronger, and the same type of thing is going on when God is changing you in progressive sanctification. Now, the Old Testament has some evidence for progressive sanctification as strengthening, though it's not a whole lot. Psalm 119:28 tells us that, well, here the psalmist says, "My soul melteth for heaviness, strengthen thou me according unto thy word." So here the psalmist says, "Strengthen me according to thy word." And so you have that. You have the Bible describing strength God strengthening his people to accomplish specific tasks for his glory. For example, Joshua chapter 1, a pretty famous passage. There's a lot of texts that are like this in the Old Testament where God strengthens his people for something in particular. Here in Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, and in verse 9, might as well read verse 6 through 9. So here, Jehovah is speaking to Joshua, and he says, "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So here Joshua was supposed to be strong so that he could obey the law, and God would bless him, and he would be enabled to go in and take over. Israel would then get into the land of Canaan. So, and we can see from that, that here in this passage, that being made courageous and strong results in obedience to the law. When Joshua was strengthened, he would obey all that was in the law of Moses and not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. If you look at 1 Samuel 23 and verse 16, we see another instance of strengthening here in the Old Testament. So here, strengthening resulted in obedience to the law. In Joshua 1, and there's a lot of texts that we can't look at them all, or we could, but it'd be midnight, so we're not going to. But there's some other texts that we can look at here. 1 Samuel 23:16, we see what Jonathan did with David. 1 Samuel 23 and verse 16. "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth." And I think, by the way, that would have happened if David hadn't fled to the Philistines. I think Jonathan would have been able to survive. But because David fled to the Philistines, that wasn't able to happen, but that's not the point of the message. But here we see that Jonathan strengthened David's hand in God. So that was, obviously, David was refreshed spiritually. He was strengthened spiritually through Jonathan reminding him of the promises of God and what God had promised them and encouraging him. So Jonathan strengthened David. And if you go over to chapter 30, David here fled to the Philistines, which was a big mistake. It was wrong for him to do that. It actually contributed to the later division of the land into the north and the southern kingdoms, and to civil war, where lots of the people of God died. But nevertheless, David here, this is David getting right with God, finally, when Ziklag is destroyed, and everybody has been taken away, and everybody is weeping, and David is greatly distressed. And so 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him." And that'd be a pretty good reason to be greatly distressed. "Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself." That's the word for strengthening. He encouraged, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So here David strengthened himself, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So we can see that there are texts like that. And there are definitely texts where being strengthened doesn't really have much to do with sanctification at all either. So we see some Old Testament evidence for this employment of strengthening for sanctification, but mainly it's a New Testament. Mainly it's in the New Testament. So in the New Testament we saw there's a physical use of strengthening, and then also if you look at Acts 14 and verse 22, we can see what gets strengthened in progressive sanctification. We're just going to say sanctification from now on. Now, sanctification is positional. The moment that you get saved, you are positionally sanctified. And there's other uses of the word as well. There's ultimate. When you get to heaven, you're going to be completely, perfectly sanctified. But progressive sanctification is God making you inwardly more holy. And so that's what we're going to be talking about here. So when I use the word sanctification, that's what I'm going to be talking about. So Acts 14 and verse 22. Here Paul was confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So here, confirming is the word that could also be translated strengthening. So he was confirming, he was strengthening the souls of the disciples. So we can see that in sanctification, your soul is strengthened or confirmed. Your soul is built up. If you look at 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13, we see when this process of strengthening is completed. So strengthening strengthens your soul. And 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13 tells us what is going to happen here when Christ comes. So at the coming of Christ, it says that to the end he, God, may establish your hearts unblameable before in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So he will establish or strengthen your hearts unblameable in holiness. Well, when are you going to be perfectly unblameable holiness and have your heart perfectly established? Well, it's at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this process of strengthening goes on until Christ comes, and then it's completed. Okay? And so God progressively perfects. Take a look at 1 Peter 5:10. 1 Peter 5:10 is another passage that relates to this. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. First Peter 5:10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." So we see here that in sanctification, God is the one who does it. God sanctifies you, and he establishes and strengthens and settles you. So we see that you are strengthened by God. You personally become stronger in sanctification. God strengthens you. And there's a lot of texts that indicate that. You can see that in different passages that the entire triune Godhead is the one who strengthens you. Just as one passage that kind of shows that, Philippians 4:13 is a kind of classic passage. So take a look at Philippians 4:13. And different texts, I mean, in all of sanctification, we've seen before that the Father sanctifies you, the Son sanctifies you, the Holy Spirit sanctifies you. God is the author. He's the one who's the ultimate source of you being strengthened. God does it in you. All right? It's not something that have the physical ability to do. Sanctification is something supernatural. Just like justification is supernatural, being sanctified is a supernatural work of God that he performs within you. Now, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So here, obviously, Christ is the one who strengthens you. He's the source of the strengthening. He strengthens you. He empowers you. He pours power into you. 1 Timothy 1:12 says something very similar to that. So we see that Christ is the one who strengthens you. And he gives you the ability to do what he wants you to do. The result of being strengthened there is that you can do all things. Not that, you know, you can become omnipresent or omniscient or something like that. Or if you jump off a building and flap your arms, you won't fall down. But you can do what he wants you to do. He strengthens you to obey what he wants you to obey. And you can do all those things through Christ, which strengthens you. In that context, you're able to be abased and abound and be full and hungry and suffer need and all those things. And so God does those things, and he does it according to his glorious power and grace, as 2 Timothy 2:1 says. If you take a look at Colossians 1:9-12, we see some things that are associated with being strengthened. Colossians 1:9-12 says, and this is Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae. So you want your prayers to be answered? Well, pray something that is actually in the Bible. And that's obviously God's will. So if you pray a biblical prayer, you have a good, that's a good one to have God answer it, huh? So let's see what Paul prays for the church at Colossae. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, and so on. So here we see that being strengthened with all might, God strengthening you, you see some of the results of that. The result of that is you have patience, you grow in patience, you have long-suffering, joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. You walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You're fruitful in every good work. You increase in the knowledge of God. So those are some of the results of God strengthening you. And so that's what God does as he strengthens you. You grow stronger in your knowledge and ability to rightly teach the word. Acts 9:22 says that. You can grow stronger in faith. Romans 4 mentions how Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Faith doesn't strengthen in the sense that you go from having the wrong object to the right object. You either have the right object or you have the wrong object of faith. That's a 100% thing. But it can increase, so it doesn't increase in terms of its object, but it can increase in a certain sense, kind of quantitative sense. You can grow in faith, because the Bible actually says that in different texts. So Abraham was strong in faith. He had strong faith, faith that endured over time, and faith that was stronger in amount as well. So yeah, you can strengthen your faith. As this happens, as you're strengthened, you have the ability to fight and win spiritual victories. 2 Timothy 4:17 talks about that. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 17. Here, Paul is facing his trial, where he's on trial for being Christian. He was put in jail and so on. And he says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." So here, Paul being strengthened gave him the ability to win spiritual victories. He had the ability to boldly preach in a difficult situation. So strengthening, that's one result of strengthening. Strengthening, according to 1 Thessalonians 2, strengthening leads you to hold fast to the word and to practice every good word and work. And God keeps you from evil and the error of the wicked and establishes you in the truth. So those are some things different texts indicate are connected with strengthening. If you take a look at Hebrews 13 and verse 9, we find out another result of God strengthening you in Hebrews 13, 9. So here Paul admonishes, he says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established or strengthened with grace, and not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." So here we see that when your heart is strengthened or established with grace, the result is you're not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. So doctrinal purity, better understanding of the word and discernment is the result of being strengthened. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 through 5 gives you another result of being strengthened. 1 Thessalonians 3, 2 through 5. 1 Thessalonians 3, 2 through 5. Here Paul sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish or strengthen you, and to comfort you concerning your faith. What's the result of being established and comforted? Well, the result is that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For ye yourselves know that we are appointed thereto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. So here we see that being strengthened enables you to resist trials and temptations. So that's another result of being strengthened. You can resist trials and temptations and stand fast in the Lord, as verse 8 in the same chapter mentions. Various texts indicate that when you're strengthened, your faith grows steadfast, firm, and established. Spiritual strengthening leads believers to fulfill the Great Commission, according to Acts chapter 16. If you take a look at Luke 22 and verse 32, this is a very interesting passage here. Luke 22, verse 32. Here Christ is praying for Peter. And this is a pattern for his high priestly ministry for all believers. So he didn't just do this for Peter. He does this for you too if you're saved. So Luke 22 and verse 32. Luke 22:32 says, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So here, he wasn't praying for Peter to get saved. He was converted in the sense that he would turn again. When he would turn back to God, he would then was commanded to strengthen the brethren. So we see that as Christ, by his high priestly ministry, strengthens believers to repent and to live for him, then they are enabled to strengthen others. So as you are strengthened as a result of Christ's ministry on your behalf, you then are able to strengthen other people. Well, how can you strengthen other people? Well, you can strengthen other people through spiritual gifts. Romans 1 mentions that, how you can be strengthened. You can strengthen others through using spiritual gifts that you have. You are strengthened through the instrumentality of the word. Different texts indicate that. God uses spiritual leadership in 1 Thessalonians 3 and Acts 18 to establish or strengthen believers. So he uses spiritual leadership. He uses other believers. He uses the word through the other believers and through spiritual leadership to strengthen you. And this strengthening continues up. If you look at 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 8, this strengthening continues up until Christ returns or until you go to be with him. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 8 says, who also shall confirm you or strengthen you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here God strengthens you until the end. And that's what he does. That's an evidence of eternal security, the certainty of sanctification. So that's what God does. God strengthens you, and the result of being strengthened is you can strengthen others. You are able to resist trials. You grow stronger in faith. You're able to do every good word and work. Basically, you're able to be more what you ought to be as a Christian, as God strengthens you. Now, in contrast to that, believers in churches that backslide can grow weaker. And if you take a look at Revelation 3 and verse 2, Revelation 3 and verse 2, here the Lord Jesus, the ascended Christ, through the Apostle John, gives a message to one of these seven churches here. In Revelation 3, 2, there's 3:1. And my page is stuck together. Revelation 3:2, Christ says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain and are ready to die. So here, this church was backsliding, and Christ tells the church to strengthen the things which remain and are ready to die. So they were sliding back, they were getting weaker. And just like the terms for spiritual strengthening are derived from terms for physical strengthening, physically getting stronger, terms for spiritual weakening are derived from terms for physical weakness or sickness. And you can see that in various texts. If you take a look at Hebrews 11, verse 34, you can see an explicit contrast between strengthening and getting weaker. Hebrews 11 and verse 34. Here, by faith, different Old Testament saints quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. So there you see an explicit contrast, weakness made strong, and that is opposite. Now, both spiritual strengthening and weakness, just like physical strength and weakness, has degrees. A kid can get stronger. He can, you know, when he was 18, he can lift something that's heavier than when he's 5 years old. Also, you know, people can get weaker. And spiritual strength and weakening are that way. Greater spiritual weakness is associated with greater spiritual inability to perform spiritual good. So the weaker you are, the less spiritual good you can do. And an unsaved person is totally spiritually weak, and he can't produce any spiritual good. He's in a state of total spiritual weakness. Believers can grow weak in certain ways. Romans 14 is a passage that talks about that. If you look at Romans 14 Romans 14:21 talks about how your brother can be made weak by certain things that you do. By your abuse of spiritual liberties, your brother can be made weak. You can see that in Romans 14:1-2, somebody can be weak in the faith. So we can have weakness in faith. 1 Corinthians 8 talks about a weak conscience. And a weak conscience is one that's not able to withstand strong temptations. So it folds quicker. Just like physical strength, you can last longer. Well, when you're weak, you last less. So you have a weak conscience, you fold to temptations. There's a command in 1 Thessalonians 5:14 for stronger Christians and spiritual leaders. Yeah, look at 1 Thessalonians 5:14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 tells us what we're supposed to do with the weak. Doesn't say slap them around. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, gives you several different categories of people. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. So if somebody's unruly, you warn them. Comfort the feeble-minded. So you, if somebody's feeble-minded, you comfort them. What do you do with the weak? You support the weak. So you support the weak. That's what you do with the weak. Be patient toward all men, because we all need that. We all need to have patience toward us. So you can see here that you support the weak. So you can be stronger, you can be weaker, and that's what can take place with those things. And we, though, that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves, and let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So we can see that strengthening, you can grow stronger in sanctification, you can grow weaker. And until we get to heaven, we still have progress to go in being strengthened. And if you take a look at Matthew 26 and verse 41... Matthew 26, verse 41, we find out something that is important that we need to do because of our indwelling sin. That is the root of weakness. The stronger our indwelling sin, the weaker we are. The weaker our indwelling sin, the stronger we are. Matthew 26 and verse 41 says, watch and pray, Christ commands, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So here the flesh is weak. That's the indwelling sin. That is weak. And therefore you need to watch and pray. Because otherwise you will give in to temptation like the disciples did here. They fell asleep. They betrayed the Lord as a result of falling asleep instead of praying. So physical infirmity in the flesh hinders physical ability. And spiritual infirmity in the flesh hinders your spiritual progress. Now, apart from God's grace and power, since God is the source of strengthening, you aren't going to be strong. God strengthens you. You don't sort of autonomously and of your own self kind of go along and become strong. God has to strengthen you. God strengthens what he works in you. And you can pass from weakness to ever greater degrees of strength and grow in your ability to obey the command to strengthen the brethren. So that's what the Bible says about that. So what does that mean we should do? Okay, so we can be strengthened. We can be transformed. We can be quickened. We can be built up. So what does this mean for us? Well, several things that we can learn from this. One is that you clearly can grow stronger. Okay, God wants you to, if you're saved. If you're unsaved, you are completely weak. You have no strength at all. And you need to repent and believe the gospel. Because you will never be able to be spiritually strong until you get saved. But if you're saved, if you've been saved, you've been regenerated, you have a new nature, you have a new heart, then God wants you to grow stronger. Okay? He commands you to grow stronger. That's his will. Spiritual strengthening isn't... In sanctification, there's some things that are 100%, 0%. Like, you're either consciously holding on to sin or you're not. So, you know, you're either ready to take the Lord's Supper or you're not, okay? So you're either have unconfessed sin you're aware of or you don't, okay? So some things are 100%, 0%. You either have it or you don't. Spiritual strengthening isn't one of those things. This is a progressive aspect of sanctification. You are supposed to grow stronger. That's what God wants you to do, to grow stronger and be more strong by his grace strengthening you. So you can ask yourself, are you stronger now than where you were in the past? Or are you weaker? Are you more like Christ, who is willing to take a stand even in the face of persecution and death? Paul, when he was strengthened, was able to take a stand, even when he was confronted by at his trial. He was strengthened, he was able to stand. If you're strong, you're going to be able to stand against more trouble, more trial, more persecution. That's what's going to take place. Are you stronger in your walk with the Lord? Are you closer to Him? Are you, if you're a parent, are you stronger in your consistency in your godly discipline in the home? Or are you provoking your children to wrath? Or are you just the same as you were 5 years ago? You know, you haven't learned anything over the course of 5 years, okay? Or something like that, okay? Are you stronger in immediate and humble response to the preached word? Are you stronger taking rebuke from others? Strong meat is for those that are full age. So are you able to take rebuke from others, or do you get mad and take it personally and all this kind of thing? Are you more dependent on the Lord for strength, or are you thinking that you can do it yourself your own way? Are you more resistant to specific temptations? Okay, God wants you to be strengthened. That's His will. That's what He says is supposed to be taking place with your life. You are supposed to be stronger. Are you getting stronger? You should think about that. You need to individually go stronger, and our assembly, our church, Mequonago Baptist Church, should corporately be growing stronger. We should be a stronger church. We shouldn't be like in Revelation 3:2, Christ told that church there to strengthen the things that remain and are ready to die. Okay? Are you contributing to Mequonago Baptist Church being a stronger church? Or are you, you know, all you've got is the pew-warming ministry, okay? Or maybe you even have the making the church weaker by spreading gossip ministry, okay? That's your ministry. You know, you have the spread around, spread trouble ministry. You know, the church will be a stronger church if people are being saved and baptized and added to it. Are you contributing to that taking place? Or are you not contributing to the church being stronger because that just, you don't really get that much into that? Okay? When Peter was strengthened, he strengthened the brethren. Jonathan strengthened David's hand in God. When people think of you, do they think, boy, that's somebody who will strengthen my hand in God? I want to be around him. He'll strengthen my hand in God. I'll be spiritually refreshed. I'll be spiritually stronger if I'm with that person. Is that the kind of person you are? Or are you somebody that tears down the weak or makes people weaker? What kind of person are you? Okay? You actually, in Hebrews 10:24-25, we're commanded to not forsake the assembling. That's true. But we're commanded to exhort one another. The actual command, we'll take a look at Hebrews 10. Look at Hebrews 10:24-25. Because this is something that you don't want to miss. Sometimes we mention verse 25, and we should. You can't obey this if you are forsaking the assembling. That's actually not the command. The command is verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking. It's a participle, okay? If all you people, you say, I forgot about English. Well, that's why it's good. If you want to go back to the academy, they teach you English so you can learn these things. So you don't get no bad grammar, okay? Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So the command is to consider one another to provoke to love and to good works. So you're coming to church so you can get provoked. That's what the Bible says, okay? You're here to provoke one another to love and to good works. That can't happen if you're forsaking the assembling, and it can't happen if you're not exhorting. Which also tells you about whether, you know, you get here, like, you zoom in, you know, 2 seconds before the church service starts. Now, if you have a job in North Milwaukee where they don't let you out when they're supposed to let you out, so you have to, like, speed to get here, and you're like, maybe, okay, something can be done about that. But you want to try to be able to exhort one another. So, you know, after church, is your first thing, man, that hamburger at home, oh man, I got to get there. I don't have time to exhort anybody. You should be exhorting one another. That's the command. So you need to be somebody who's building up and strengthening the church. All right? That's something that God wants you to do. Another thing that God wants out of this, we can see from the fact that sanctification strengthens you, is you also don't want to have a wrong idea about what's actually going on in sanctification. Now, some people say that you actually don't get stronger, that you just kind of, and they emphasize that you can be right with God, not right with God, which is totally biblical, absolutely right, but they say that you can grow, like, ethically stronger, like you can become more disciplined, but you actually don't change. You personally don't get any stronger. You just grow more disciplined, and you are just the same inwardly, when you die, as 30 years after you've been saved is when you get saved. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. You are transformed. You are strengthened. You are built up. And if you aren't thinking that God will strengthen you, if you think, well, God isn't going to strengthen me, that's not going to happen, that's going to hinder you being strengthened, won't it? So don't think that way. Think, yeah, God has promised to strengthen me by the high priestly ministry of Christ. Praise the Lord. He wants, I can't make myself strengthened. God is the supernatural source of it, but he actually wants to strengthen me. Hallelujah. And seek to be strengthened the way that the Bible says you can be strengthened. That's an important thing. You also have... You also have some people who say that you actually become as strong as Jesus so you can do everything that Jesus does. And that's like kind of the opposite. You don't get strengthened at all, or because God strengthens you, you become as strong as Jesus so you can do everything he does. That's actually the doctrine, for example, of the Word Faith movement. You know, the health wealth people, they say that you can cast out demons just like Jesus did. You can do all the spiritual sign gifts just like Jesus did, because you're in union with Christ, you have strength from him, so you can do everything he does. And they're actually, their doctrine, that doctrine actually developed from a book called The Authority of the Believer by John Macmillan. That's actually where that doctrine came from. That Macmillan's book was taken by a man named Kenneth Hagin, and they adopted that. But you don't actually have, God strengthens you, but you actually aren't as strong as Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. You can't do miracles like Jesus did. God can do miraculous things in you, but that's actually not what the Bible says there either. So you want to think about that too. So, and also the stronger you are spiritually, the more you recognize your remaining weakness, the stronger you are, the more you cleave to the only source of strength, the Lord, Jehovah, rather than being proud or self-reliant. So those are all things that you want to do. So think about this. Are you getting stronger? Are you being strengthened spiritually? Are you strengthening other people? Are you contributing to the church being strengthened? If not, time to start. Time to start. And praise God for the glorious fact that God himself has promised to strengthen little petty you and make you stronger. And if you're not saved, you can't even begin this process. God isn't going to strengthen you. But if you're saved, this is what God wants to do in your life. And you have a high priest that's committed to strengthen you. So see that that's taking place in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would strengthen your people here inwardly with might by your spirit in their inward man. That, Father, we would be a church of people who are growing stronger spiritually because of your powerful grace. Please work that in a great way in their lives. And help us, Father, to be strengthened individually, to be strengthened spiritually, that we might be a people that are pleasing to you because of your grace and your power working in us alone. And we pray this for Christ's sake. Amen.